This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are joined by Jonathan Surratt, a.k.a. Beernator, as we recap the many years of FOBAB. All that and more on this week's episode. These last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, there's flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got a special guest in the studio, Jonathan Surratt. Welcome.
All right, thanks, guys.
The Beernator is here, man.
Yeah, that's right.
good to have you here. I feel like we were talking recently about, like, oh, why haven't you been on? You're like, you guys haven't invited me.
Yeah, I think this was a far and away chatter we were talking about.
Just going to show up. Just come knocking on the door. I know when it happens now.
Right.
It's going to be here.
Every Tuesday, yep. Around 5, 6 o'clock.
5 years. I don't know how you guys have done this every single, well, not every single week, but pretty much.
It rolls pretty hard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy. And it's, you know, it's fun. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you just once a week get together to drink. That's kind of what happens. And you hit record.
Consistent. Yeah. That's good.
I was thinking in the pre-show we were just talking, I'm like, how many FOBABs are at this table right now that, like, we've all attended, right?
Right, yeah.
It's FOBAB week, so I was like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
I think I went in 2005 is the first one I went to.
Yeah.
Because that's when we moved here, and I'm pretty sure it was at Wrigley, Goose Island Wrigley.
Oh, Goose Wrigley.
Oh, yeah. Yours goes all the way back. Okay. Hold on. We'll get into that in a minute. Let's. We're going to talk a lot about FOBAB here. Yeah. First, mention what we're drinking. We're drinking some Half Acre cans, some Fader Pils, and some Gone Away. We've had Gone Away before on, and maybe Fader.
No, I've never seen Fader.
Okay.
This can's so nice, man. I really just wanted to drink it out of the can.
I actually really love their branding.
Yeah, they're killing it. You know, this. They had that other Pils. I can't think of the name of it right now. It was
Pony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pony. A lot bolder, hot profile in Pony. This is more my style if I'm drinking Pils. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I already got rid of one of those cans, so it was good. But yeah, Gone Away also. Yeah, we've talked about that before, but that's a great IPA and just, like, classic at this point.
The artist formerly known as Sunita and... Yeah. Hayoka.
Oh,
I think it was Hayoka.
For like a week.
Hayoka, then Sunita, then Gone Away.
Okay, then it was Sunita for like a week.
Yeah. I think Native Americans, I think Hayoka's was, I think it was like the Native Americans were like, hey, man, this is kind of what you're making. It's like a joke. Yeah. It's almost an insult. Change it.
Yeah.
And then another, like, I don't know, winery or somebody stepped in and said.
Is that what the second one was?
Yeah, and I think the second one was like a winery or another brewery said, no, that's too close to what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they just said, fuck it, Gone Away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same label, different name every time.
Mm-hmm. It's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
I've looked at that before because Josh Knoll just, you know, a month ago or so tweeted a picture of all three labels, and it's changed a little. Like, there's one less cactus or there's a little bit less snake. It's a little bit different. But yeah. I don't even think I had Sunita. I don't even think I had that version. I think I skipped that entirely.
Yeah, I remember when it went down. I was like. Okay. Oh, you changed it again. Okay. Like,
they should change it every year.
They should, or just call it like the Half Acre Beer. Like, at that point, the name doesn't matter when you have to change it three times.
Yeah.
Well, they're so, you know, their logo is never the same. What brewery do you know that has?
Oh, their actual
their
the
logo
Half Acre
changes
beer logo,
every
yeah.
single. I think every single beer, everything's different. Mm-hmm. Like swag wise. Every time they make a T-shirt, it's different.
Yeah, and their hats are all different and lots of stuff. It's kind of funny like that.
It's a pretty bold move.
Yeah, I think that's kind of their whole image, right? Like just being different, making sure you're seen and heard, not like blending in with the shelf. You hear a lot of people like, oh, you need consistency in your packaging when you're on the shelf, but they're like, nah.
Yeah, it's totally opposite.
Seems to be working.
Yeah. From what like Lagunitas, Goose, or Revolution would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every single one is different.
Yeah. Nice.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so we're going to be talking about FOBAB here. And one more thing before we get into that.
Yeah.
Revolution.
Yeah, man. So I was at Kedzie this week. Yeah. And Jonathan, you were at, were you at,
I was at,
you were at the pub, right?
Last
the
night. Pub? Yeah.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
So there's two news stories that kind of come out of Revolution right now. Yeah. One is the release of all these deaths.
Yeah.
Beers.
So it's I guess wave two of the Deepwood series.
Okay.
The first wave was you know, I think the collaboration with Sun King, and VSOJ.
VSOJ. But what was the Sun King?
Code Switch.
Code Switch. I tried it.
Yeah.
The other day.
It was like blackberries and like candy syrup. Right. It wasn't my jam.
It was pretty sweet.
Yeah. That VSOJ though.
That's so good.
Pretty legit. Yeah.
Okay.
That was last time. This time is all the Death Star. Or D-Star stuff.
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah,
so. Josh, I'm pretty sure his last name is Deeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he said last night, he pronounced Death Star, which shocked me. I was like, what? I've always thought it was Deeth Star.
Yeah.
Because his last name. It just makes sense. But maybe they're just given up. Maybe they're just tired.
People say it, of correcting.
Yeah,
people
death.
Say it wrong.
Let's just go with
it. So
them.
It starts to be like, That's the word. I don't know.
Let's just
it's
go
not
with
spelled
it.
That way. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the oatmeal stout, and then all the variants for the Barrel Aged Oatmeal Stout is this weekend.
And then,
right.
Okay.
Friday.
Yeah.
And they come in little 4-pack cans, right?
Yes.
But it's not mixed, right? It's
no, they're all different. So I think in cans it's going to be Cafe Deeth, mm-hmm. Death by Courant, and the original Deeth Star.
Yeah.
Those are cans, and then. Everything else is on tap.
Spiteful did a 4-pack of mixed, right? Isn't that what that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did their goddamn pigeon porter. They did peanut butter, coconut. Oh, now I'm blanking. Is there chocolate?
We're made raspberry?
Raspberry and another.
I'll make a sandwich, man.
Yeah.
I'm here for the mixed 4-pack.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been a good move for this Deepwood stuff, too.
At least have, like, the option.
Have one pack that's like a. One can of each.
Yeah.
Each one's what, $20 or $22?
Like
each
like,
4-pack.
I think they're like closer to like
30?
30 or 40.
Yeah.
I think it's like a $40 6-pack.
Right.
I mean $40 4-pack.
Right. So if each can is roughly $10, like you could up the price a little bit and have this mix Deepwoods.
Yeah.
Especially them, since they do so many different cans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the League of Heroes is like that.
Right.
Bigger quantity, but still mixed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing I found out last night about this is They did not plan to do this on FOBAB Friday.
Really?
FOBAB apparently changed their date. So they had picked a date. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really hurt anything. But they had picked a date, and then FOBAB moved their date and just put it on top of the same weekend.
Did FOBAB move it up or
I'm not
back?
Sure. I don't.
Well, Thanksgiving is really early
this
week.
It couldn't be up. Yeah, it couldn't be. It couldn't be Thanksgiving week, so that's...
Right, so maybe FOBAB would have been the following week.
Maybe.
But
maybe
Thanksgiving
week
is like a week early, or technically.
I mean, like the guy I was talking to, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And in fact, it might make it better. People might go get some, and then, like, if they're out of town or...
Well, yeah, like for the Dark Lord stuff, like back in the day, there was the Flossmore releases, and then now there's
the
microphone
might actually, releases.
Depending on how it goes tomorrow, or Friday, I keep saying tomorrow, depending on how it goes Friday, who knows, it might become a tradition. They might try to stack it on the same FOBAB weekend.
Yeah, jump out, like, seems like there's tons of events this weekend that are like mini FOBAB, FOBAB pre-party, this barrel age release, and...
I love that it came out this week. It's coming out this week. Because, because Half Acres Benthic is the same day. So I like that whole week of events around FOBAB.
And you can go wait in line early in the morning, 2 Fridays in a row.
Yeah. 11 a.m. with 1, 4 p.m. They conveniently, Death Star's at 4 p.m. the same day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then you just go to FOBAB after that.
And then go to FOBAB.
And then next Friday, you line up at Binny's.
Fuck. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So then, also on the Revolution side, Will Turner is leaving.
I think he's gone.
He's leaving.
This week, I think, is it.
He's gone away.
Gone
away.
See what you did there. Head pub brewer, right? He was the brewmaster at the pub.
The pub, yeah.
And Jim Seaback was the brewmaster at Kedzie, where that's where all the package releases come from.
Right.
Yeah.
But Will was at the Kedzie thing for like a minute,
right?
Like,
I'm not sure.
Shortly, I think when he first left Goose and came to Revolution.
When he first came to Revolution, they were saying last night, when he first came to, I went to his kind of like going away party last night.
Yeah.
When he said when they first came to Revolution, I don't think they had Kedzie. I don't think Kedzie was open yet.
That's true.
I remember being, or maybe that's true, but I remember being at the first Oktoberfest and him having already been there and was showing people the brew system at Kedzie. So maybe it had just opened. Or,
yeah, maybe.
Because there was like no tanks in there. They had some pallets of cans. It must have just opened around Oktoberfest time.
Yeah, I do remember going to that one, and I remember it being...
Okay.
I think I want to say it was the second year or third year of Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Okay.
Because that was the year we brought it back. I think that was the right year. So it would be 2011, maybe?
11, 12. Are you talking about the Craft Beer Week when the closing ceremony was the opening party for Rev Kedzie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say 2012, maybe. That'd be my guess.
Okay.
So if I understand correctly, I think Will might have been there. He might have just started about that time that he opened it.
That would make sense.
He went, so he worked at Seabright, which is years ago, which is in California. Mm-hmm. He then went to Goose Claiborne, right, when way before the Anheuser-Busch thing.
And he was there how many years? Like a decade?
I would say 7 or 10, something like that. And then he went to... I don't know why this happened exactly.
He went to Fulton, right?
Yeah, I forget exactly what happened.
I think there was Greg Hall wanted him to go to Fulton.
Yeah, and they brought Jared.
And they were
in there.
They wanted more focus on food, I think, or they wanted to kind of class up the place, I think, is kind of what they were trying to do.
I think it was something like that. It was a little bit of a shift, right?
Will's beers at Claiborne were so good.
Yeah, I tell you, man, I saw Frank from Motorola. Frank
Lassandrella.
Yeah, and you know he's a huge Will Turner fan. I saw him at Maplewood the night I went to Rev, and I was telling him this story about how the folks at Claiborne when they clocked in before the revamp, whenever they clock in for their work shift, the little digital output when you swipe your card would say Will Turner is the coolest.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, because they all love Will Turner.
There are so many beers brewed at Claiborne that you almost forget now, and also get lost in the what was a Revolution beer and what was a Claiborne beer now, because there's was Queen Bee. Queen Bee was a Claiborne beer.
It was Queen Bee was Claiborne, yeah, and then
that was barley wine.
Yeah,
I think it's a hoppy. She's a hoppy.
Like a hoppy pilsner or hoppy pale. It was for Deb because she has a bee tattoo.
What's the
Red Skull is what I'm thinking.
Red Skull is the one
that's a Rev beer.
That's a Rev beer.
Yeah, that's a double. I want to say double red ale.
Deb's a real big hophead, so I think that's what he was trying to do is make her hoppy beers.
Yeah, I like Will Turner, man. I think we were doing a list of our top five Chicago brewers, I think. And Will was the reason we started the list. We're like, who's on the list? We're like, Will Turner's on the list.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, if I don't know what he's going to be allowed to do at open. I'm sorry.
Right, because
what was it? Open out.
We buried the story. He's going to open outcry.
Really talked about it. Yeah.
And you've gone there.
I've been to open outcry.
Have you gone?
I've not been.
I've never.
I've been to Horse Thief, which is right down the street.
Okay.
But I have not.
Yeah.
They've only been open, a year?
Yeah. So I went when they first opened.
Okay.
So when I went, there was a lot of room to grow. I mean, the place was great. Mm-hmm. A lot of room to grow on the beers. They had just opened, though. So, you know, that's how every place is. But their pick, that's a hell of a pickup.
Oh, it's huge.
That's a hell of a pickup.
So this is kind of inside baseball, which I guess this whole podcast is inside baseball. But Will was, from my understanding, Will was not in a position to brew some of the things he wanted to brew at Revolution.
Oh,
That's bizarre.
Because they now again, I could be totally wrong about this, but
sure.
They already have a Eugene, a strong porter. They didn't want
another
porter.
Okay.
And one of my favorite beers from Will at Claiborne was his porter. Yeah. It's just unbelievably good.
Mm-hmm.
So if Open Outcry says go for it, then they have something special. They're going to have something special down there, I think.
That makes sense. And
they should. If they're smart,
so
they should do that.
Really, they were able to offer him the freedom and closer to home.
He's like a 2-mile drive or 2-mile.
So there's no way, like, I don't know. People leave for different reasons. But, yeah, Rev is one of the biggest breweries in Chicago. So it wasn't a money thing. It's just a probably logistics and freedom thing. At this point, you need to slow down and do different things, right?
Yeah.
That's probably
And so going forward, this also learned last night, they're not going to replace Will. And I don't know, they're not going to have an official head pub brewer.
Oh, okay.
They're going to bring, the Kedzie brewers are going to come up with recipes, and they'll kind of use the brew pub as a kind of a testing ground.
Oh, like a pilot. Yeah, that's kind of, okay.
It's a good idea. And that also lets them not have a guy sitting there that wants to brew XYZ styles and can't. It's kind of hamper, he's unable to brew what he wants to brew. So now you have people who are brainstorming and coming up with hopefully cool stuff.
Yeah, hopefully. Like, that is disappointing. I do feel like when I would go to the Revolution Brew Pub, I'd be like, I've had all these beers. Where... That was the fun part about going to Clybourne, and even why you might still go to Clybourne. There's probably like one or two beers you haven't seen or that are different. And it's like, I want to go to this spot because it's different. I don't want to go for another burger or another food again. Like, I'm coming to have a beer.
Yeah, from a beer drinker perspective, you kind of want them to be disconnected, right?
Yeah.
Like, I go to Kedzie for a certain reason. I go here because I want the wacky stuff. I want stuff that's not going to packaging.
I want stuff I can't just go to the store and buy.
Yeah, but keep a few of those things for the out-of-towners, or if you take someone and be like, oh, this beer you're going to like. It's everywhere. If you have it here, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I mean, nowadays it's like you go to a brew pub, no matter where it is, you expect 16 drafts, which is pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
But it's not hard to do if you have a production facility, a huge production facility, and two breweries.
Mm-hmm.
So they can, you go in there and there's usually, you guys remember when Revolution opened up and there were 9 of their own beers and then 9 of the guest beers or whatever on the taps. And now you don't ever see a guest tap in there anymore.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because they just got so much beer.
Yeah. One more thing about the Will Turner Fobab thing. Fobab had, since 2010, Revolution has won 8 times at Fobab.
Oh, you did the numbers.
Yeah, I was crunching them, man. And,
is that
now some of the stuff?
Pub stuff, or do they not
exactly
distinguish?
No, it's hard to tell. But some of this stuff is like, VSOJ, Destar. But then some of this stuff is like, the General Molasses Porter and the Working Woman, stuff that I've seen at the pub, So, so just piggybacking on what you guys are saying, like, this is kind of a big deal. These were delicious beers that people loved, and they were killing it, and Will Turner was right in the middle of it.
That's interesting. They don't put them separately, because like Clybourne will put it separately, or even Rock Bottom.
Yeah, it should be denoted.
So it's almost Rev doesn't want the two to be separate, right? They're trying,
just like big beer, man.
They're trying to have a consistent brand or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
And so now, honestly, now going forward, I think they should put the brewers name. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have, Steve and Ted brewed this one, that kind of thing. Or whatever they do with that.
Yeah.
Because that was one of my favorite things to watch. We were looking at Clybourne versus Fulton, and Clybourne wasn't too far behind
the number
Fulton at Fobab for the number of wins, and it was interesting to see the dynamic.
I'm pretty sure the GABF award that Revolution's gotten was a Will Turner beer. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure if they got more than I've gotten more than one. They've gotten at least one that I know of.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure it was a brewpub beer.
Okay.
Yeah. So
crazy.
Anyway, so yeah, that's big news for a virtually unknown Open Outcry.
Does this make Open Outcry more of a destination now?
I'm gonna go down there.
Okay,
I'm more interested in going there again. Yeah,
for sure.
I like the Horse Thief Hollow guys. They have roots at Chaos, and you kind of know them from that, so you just want to go check out their stuff. I didn't have any connection to Open Outcry, but I'd love to see what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Now because he's gone. Yeah,
definitely doesn't hurt that they're literally a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
So you can hit 2.
And then how far away is this from, Blue Island?
Blue Island is about, I think it's about 4 or 5 miles.
Okay.
So not far, you're driving anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could, there's some Metra stops nearby. There's Blue Island I know has
Metra.
A walking trail from the Metra.
Right.
Which doesn't sound that fun, but if you like walking, that's fine.
4 miles, that's a bit of a walk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be, they got Uber, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, you could Uber it, yeah.
Get some Ubers in there. Okay. Take your bike on the train.
It's like in basketball, like an All-Stars going from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference. And Eastern Conference is stronger now because they were kind of weak. They're stronger today, man. It's they got a little turnout there.
Southside pickup right there.
That's big. That's big news.
No, I'm excited. I will definitely want to go to Open Outcry. Give it a couple months and see what kind of starts to roll out.
I mean, Will's a good friend of mine. I'm excited that he's going to hopefully get to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
If they're smart, they'll let him do what he wants to do.
Oh, for sure. Like, we know Open Outcry because we're talk about this and drink a lot of beer, but most people are like, I don't know what this is. You don't see a tap handle anywhere. Is there a package?
Crowlers, maybe. I've seen crowlers.
So, yeah, this is, it's almost like starting from zero.
What else did you have on tap at the going away?
Last night, I do not remember any of the names. No, I remember the beers. I had Will's Wheat Wine, which is a big beer. It's a little bit sweet. I'm not the biggest wheat wine fan.
Yeah.
And then he had a Rauch beer, smoked beer. Mm-hmm. And then there was a sour with cherries, I want to say. Never seen any of these beers before.
That's cool.
Okay. And I was just there the other day. So, I mean, these are obviously just kegs. In fact, you could see there was literally a jockey box. They weren't even pouring out the taps, which I guess they can't because
between the two?
It was upstairs.
Oh, okay.
On the brewer's
lounge. So if they had it tapped, it probably would. I don't know if they can.
Have to be downstairs somewhere or whatever their system is.
So they were pouring jockey box.
Damn.
Okay. So it must have been stuff he was a big fan, you know, like stuff he really was proud of or something.
Right, yeah. Or wanted to make sure people drank before he left didn't leave it stowed behind. Away.
Yeah.
I love their space. I love Revolution Space.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. It's always busy, too, when you go there.
It was, I was there with one of the GMs, the old general manager from Clyburn, Reggie Sneed. I don't know if you guys know Reggie.
Yeah. Reggie would always threaten to, like, this is your last fucking time with this. We start the brew bus there. It's the last fucking time I'm letting this bus in here. he was that guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy. Yeah,
he's cool.
So we were talking about the Clyburn renovations.
Yeah.
Because he left right before they happened.
Okay.
He left.
The first ones? Or the most recent?
The ones where they made everything concrete.
Yeah.
And that's what he and I talked about. We're standing there by the Rev Bar, which was, I think, kind of aimed to copy
the original Clyburn Bar.
You think about it, it kind of was.
Yeah.
And the upstairs bar feels the same as the downstairs bar. And we're standing there by this wood, and I feel like if Clyburn had just put a wood bar in there, done all the changes they did, and instead of the concrete bar that apparently is already cracking or whatever, they put a wood bar in there, it would have felt so much more comfortable.
Well, I think I said it when it first happened or went over there. It feels like your friend's garage. Like, I have a garage, and I put a brewery in here.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it feels like.
Which, it's kind of how Off-Color feels, if you think about it. Right over there in the same spot. It's got the same kind of concrete feel.
Mm-hmm. I'm often at Off-Color when it's dark, so it already feels like really dark in there. So I don't like get a good sense of like what's happening. I'm like, man, it's just dark in here.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff they did at Clyburn obviously was needed badly. Apparently the bar was, this is what Reggie said last night, the bar was falling apart. And they were putting it back together with like 2x4s and stuff underneath.
Oh, jeez.
And
expanding the brew house is great for them.
Yeah, because that brew house was tiny. You know, you saw down in there.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, they're a lot of their barrels were like almost in like a crawl space. Once you got
that's where the I think that's where the hand pump stuff was.
Yeah,
was in a crawl space underneath the bar.
Yeah, it was snug down there.
It might still be. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'd like to see more like bottle releases from the revamped. Because they took out, like, I want to say 50 or so seats to make a bigger brew house there. But I would hope to see more bottle releases there. We haven't really seen a lot of that.
They have the hugest merch area of anybody. So
I wonder how much they – kind of off on a tangent here, I guess. But I wonder how much they actually let them – how much freedom the brewers have now at Clyburn. Like, do they – are they doing a lot of – fancy stuff these days, like barrel aged cherry stuff, you know, kind of stuff like that, or is it?
I feel like we heard that was the thought, right? Like that was what they were going for. But if that's happening, who knows? But it seems like AB realized, like, leave the people alone, right?
Right.
Like, they, oh, we'll give you a lot of money and just, like, do your thing. Like, go yeah. ahead. Like, whatever we say is a bad idea. So, you know what you're doing. We bought you because
right.
you were doing something right. Keep doing it.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like the fact that supposedly every place looked like, even the Singapore, they're trying to make
them all uniform, like almost just, like Hard Rock Cafe or something. Just,
right. Or I mean, Rock Bottom.
Or Rock Bottom. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are bad examples, considering what it was, right?
What about Applebee's? What do you think about that example? Same kind of thing. You make them all look the same.
Man. Speaking of collaborating, that's the first, I think the first day I met you.
Oh, yeah.
Where I kind of, it was my first, like, kind of, like, fanboy moment, because, like, you're like, yeah, I'm Beerinator on Twitter. And I'm like, I fucking follow this guy on Twitter. I finally met somebody in real life that I was actually like following on Twitter.
Yeah, we talked about websites.
Talked about websites, and that was actually the day that Goose sold.
Really?
Yeah, and then Robin showed up, and she ordered something on Cask, and everybody just kind of hung out and chilled. And I was like, yeah, we were kind of bummed out.
Wait,
I think we were talking about that.
Okay.
Yeah, so this had to be like, I don't know, 2010-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. At Clybourne. The old Clybourne.
Old, in the Carl Strauss room, probably.
So yeah, okay, so that was the first. That was before. That was the day that they made the announcement. Not the day that.
The day they announced they sold. Okay. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right on. Oh man, a lot of Goose and Rev talk there.
I know. Yeah. Which I think leads into FOBAB, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
This weekend is this the what anniversary of FOBAB?
Oh, man. Thirteen would be my guess.
Okay.
30? Maybe 15. Let's see.
I feel like there was a big push last year because it was an anniversary year. Like,
well, shit, you said 2005 earlier was your first one.
Maybe it was 2006. I don't know for sure. It would have been because I think the dates have changed. I don't know if it was necessarily in the fall. I can't remember. I know it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because they used the back room and they used outside in tents.
At
Goose Island, Wrigleyville.
First FOBAB was 2003, according to the website.
Well, I don't know for sure, depending on what...
So this would be 15?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, okay.
Works for me.
Yeah. I don't know for sure if we went that first year or went that second year. I can't remember.
Right. I feel like someone has said that started in a back room at, like, Pete Crowley
started. Oh, it started in Rock Bottom upstairs.
Yeah, upstairs. Yeah. And I feel like Pete and a couple other people talk about... We just drank all the beers. We walked down the line, and we had them all. And that was FOBAB. There's probably what, 20 beers maybe?
I can't imagine that many. There weren't that many breweries.
Right.
Yeah, we
2003.
We did a documentary, I want to say, in like 2012, and they said people thought it was a joke the very first FOBAB because the announcement came on April Fool's Day that we're doing this thing that no one's ever heard of. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to be at Rock Bottom at least 2 years, probably. Then it was at Goose Island, Wrigleyville, and I don't know if you guys made it to Night of the Living Ales.
I have.
I've been there. When Night it was of up there, Ales at Wrigleyville, yeah.
So the back room for Night of the Living Ales, that back cold garage was all the beer.
Yeah.
So for FOBAB, because the beer didn't have to be casked or it wasn't in casks, it didn't have to be stillaged for a week prior.
Okay.
There were stations all over. So it was a little bit better than Night of the Living Ales.
Which is like a pen.
Yeah, pretty much. So they had a tent outside. It was semi-warm. It was cold.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But the beer was out. Some beer was out there. And so there were lines out. You know, not real bad lines, but there were lines out there. And then there was beer in the garage. And there was beer in the main dining room.
Yeah, I think Night of the Living Ales also had started to have beer in like a tent thing too.
Okay.
Towards the end or the last couple of years
Probably got so big there they had to spread out a little bit.
That event was cold, so imagining like FOBAB, it's even colder around this time than it is on the opposite side, isn't it? Like, isn't Night of Living Ales in like March?
It's either March
that
or
sounds right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was chilly in that room. And then it went to the Plumber's Hall.
The Plumber's Hall. That's when I first went.
Those were fun events.
Those were good.
Yeah, I've gone to like, I don't know, like four at the Plumbers Hall, I want to say. Yeah. Yeah. And you could still at that time drink all the beers. Yeah. I believe we have, may have tried early in the days, and we have early Hopcast episodes of us going there. I think there's one Phobab we went to where we didn't have the Hopcast.
That's my first appearance on Hopcast. Phobab. It was at Phobab, yeah.
And we have a lot of interviews, like that archive of Phobab interviews is pretty awesome. Like John Bryant, like just that's people cool. That oh, wow. Aren't like around anymore, and even like just yeah. It's really cool to like go back and watch those and like wow. Just see the crowd and how almost empty it was too.
Yeah, I bought a ticket on secondary and met the guy at the Beer Bistro, and he's like, I'm gonna order beer. He's like, no, you have to go to this event. Stone cold sober.
Okay.
And so I didn't buy the beer, bought the ticket, walked over to Phobab. That was my
peer pressure.
But doing the Hopcast at the Phobab also allowed us to go to both sessions, which
yeah, it's dangerous.
Is the best and worst idea
yeah.
You have. So if you have something that you're doing during one session, like interviews and recording, you take it easy, and then but you like amp it up then, because you like know what's the cool beers to have or what people were talking about. So,
whew, yeah, dangerous. I've done both sessions. I've never made it to the full second session.
Okay. But
I've what I do, what I usually have done in the past is go to the VIP area, which is all low
yeah.
Gravity beers, all like 4 or 5% stuff. Drink a few in there while they clean up in between sessions, and then I go back out and we'll go like get the things I really wanted, because yeah. The things that got kicked first, and then I just mm-hmm. just get out. Because by that point, it's but, just time for.
But even early in the Phobab years, there was no cutoff on beers that they were pouring. Like I think that was a.
Oh, you mean
a Steve Hamburg thing? Like, hey, we need to stop pouring these sometimes. Like beers would run out in the first session, like, and then they were just, if you showed up for the second session,
they're just gone.
That beer didn't even
I do
exist.
Remember some of that yeah. Stuff happening. And they made special note the year after that, or the mm-hmm. years after that, to say there's the same amount at all sessions yeah. Now. We're going to keep this.
I think you now have to either provide 2 half barrels or 1 full keg. Like, yeah. That's the rule for entry, where sometimes it was 1 half barrel. And it was like, it's not a lot of beer.
Right. It makes sense.
For me, man, I thought Phobab hit its stride in Bridgeport. Like, and the Skyline Loft at the Bridgeport Arts Center.
You mean that time when people got called
people got stuck in the elevator. Unless you were one of the people that got stuck in the elevator, you had yourself a proper fucking Phobab.
So it was for 2 years at the Bridgeport Arts
yeah.
Center.
Yeah.
Which, that's tough to get to for a lot of people.
It's tough to get to. And then they had, like, they were like these vintage, you know, the kind of open, like a mouth opens, those kind of elevators.
Mm-hmm.
And people legit got stuck in the fucking elevators. So that was the end of Phobab there. But the space itself, where you could, like, see that you could see downtown, and you had that really, like, kind of perfect, like, lighting, yeah. Natural lighting, plus the soft light and the wood, and just the way it all played nicely together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, 5 floors up. It was good. It was
I
a good
feel
party.
Like that was the general tipping point for Phobab. Like, they moved for, like, I think a little more space, but that year two at Bridgeport was, like, way different than year one. It was so many more people, and people got stuck in the elevator. It was just, like, chaos. That's, like, barrel-aged beer kind of, like, I don't know, went over the hump at that point. Yeah. It was just kind of nuts. Like, that was the moment.
Yeah. Did you make it? You made it to Bridgeport, I'm sure.
Yeah. And now it's at, what's it called?
The Pavilion? UIC Forum?
Forum,
yeah.
Yeah?
I like it. I mean, I think it's a big space, but it's...
Multiple days now, too?
Yes, yeah, 2 days, three sessions.
Yeah, that's the first time it went to more than one day was when it moved to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's almost like they're selling too many tickets.
It's tough, man, because it was like... It's our signature event as a city, right? You know,
yeah.
It's not drinking weather. You know, it sucks up here. You know, but we're having like kind of a perfect time at Phobab every Phobab, and then it goes to USC Forum, and it's like there's more of this trade show vibe. It's a bit more sterile. It's a lot more full. I mean, the beers are always going to be good, but it's not what it was. Well, nothing is what it was, but, you know.
Does it feel like GABF? I've never gone to GABF. Does it?
Yes.
Well, it's more claustrophobic than GABF. Okay. GABF has at least has wide aisles, and this just they just don't have the space in this place.
Right.
But, yeah, it feels like feels GABF-y, yeah.
And, you know, it gets lost that, you know, the Guild is a fundraiser, right? I mean, they're a nonprofit, sorry. So, and FOBAB is a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. So they're doing what they have to do. I get that. This isn't a knock on that. I just meant from like
a... I mean, it's, it's still a great event.
Yeah.
It'd be... And the thing is, it's not selling out. Well, the one session is the... So, in theory, they're not selling as many tickets, I guess. Because the two, Friday and Saturday night, have not sold out yet. I looked today. Right.
But that's Saturday.
Saturday sells out.
Afternoon?
A couple days.
Okay.
And Saturday's Saturday afternoon?
Yeah.
And that's the award ceremony.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they also probably have less tickets for that because that's when the brewers are there, media is there, like just a lot more people are supposed to go to that one. So like maybe they lower the tickets for that one, but maybe.
I don't know. I don't know the inside scoop on that.
I'll tell you what they got right with USC Forum was the cider and like sours room, and that might have started at Bridgeport too.
It actually did start at Bridgeport.
Yeah, but I think that's excellent.
That was that. You remember when it was back behind
the like second the stage, elevator? Right? Yeah,
they had that was the second year of Bridgeport. The first year they didn't do it.
And, second year felt more like. Almost like a rave, kind of like this is the back room.
Yeah.
The lights are off. There's plastic.
Had a real dark feeling in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't go back in there much to sit that year.
That's been my favorite edition of FOBAB is hey, you gotta like you'll walk in and you'll see like Alex Levengood who's he works at Brickstone now.
Yeah.
And he's on the board for the Guild. He'll be like, man, you gotta come try this juicy bits from Wellworks. Like you know, everyone's excited about what's in the sour room.
Okay.
And that's a cool feature. I like that. And that wasn't always there in sour room.
Sour ciders and perries.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. FOBAB's just it's you walk out of there just messed up. It's you can't not walk out of there.
Yeah, man. I think Brad last week was saying he had something he said where it's like you stand in line for a beer for 15, 20 minutes. That's kind of dumb because. Half hour later, you won't remember what the fuck you had.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And if you go with somebody who's enthusiastic about things and, like, it's kind of like, let's go try, it just feels like you're having a panic attack. Like, I've gone with people, I don't know if you guys know Dave Toedts at all.
Uncle
if
Dave.
You ever hang out with Dave, he's just like, grabs your arm and it's just like, you're just drinking, try this. And you get done 15 minutes later with Dave, and he walks off to find somebody else to take around, and you're just like, it's catching up to you, you know, the buzz. Mm-hmm. And then you just, it's just a daze. The rest of the, you trying all this great beer, and it's a little overwhelming.
Dave Toast is the one that told me at a dock party for Goose Island. He was like, no, we don't drink full pours of Bourbon County around here. You get you three pours of that nut brown ale and then one part BCS. And you cruise that for like an hour. Uncle Dave told me that.
Okay.
So I have a friend who I usually go to FOBAB with that was here this weekend for prop day.
Okay.
And he ran into Dave. And Dave just took him up to the brew deck and was like, he was just here, try this. And he'd pour you that much. Just try it. And it's okay. And now you're drinking a whole pint of something and Dave just gave you.
Jeez.
Yeah. Be wary of Dave at FOBAB.
But going with someone that's enthused or wants to try some things or heard about some things is also really nice because I will often just be like, I'm going to try this.
Yeah, I do that too.
I just try a lot of random stuff. So knowing maybe what people are after is also kind of nice.
I don't do a good job researching beforehand. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that do. And those people are obviously... pretty fun to hang out with at those events.
Right, but you could just stand in the line, like, oh, there's this line. There must be a reason. Let's do this.
Or you can just do like what you described. It's what I do, and I just try random stuff, and so much good stuff there that you're usually going to hit something.
And to know that, like, most of the people pouring are volunteers.
Yeah.
Dump the beer out. Like, when you're at some other festivals, there's sometimes brewers or people that work for them, and you... there's a little bit of like I feel bad dumping this out in front of you like but there it's one there's so many beers you can't try them all
right
dump it out you don't like it give up try another one you paid for the event just go
And I've usually found there's enough water there at this event, which is it's useful. I usually dump and then fill up with water and drink, try to drink that and then go to the next one. And it's just the fact that there's very little low gravity beer there.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. I hope somebody moves into the what is it, the Mad Mouse Brewery that was like in that same strip mall. It was Mad Mouse Brewery and they closed, but they had really good like Cajun food. And like, you know, there's slim pickings for like food at Bobat. Yeah. But if you went to that brewery, they have like this full Cajun menu, and you could
really need some more food options at Fobab. I think there's just usually a booth selling a burger or something, like, and Connie's that's about
pizza
it.
Pizza or some shit.
Yeah. It's like, the sports food. Like whatever is usually there, it's the same people.
They just need like a bread station. I was telling somebody the other day, just a big old tub of bread, and just walk by and pull out a piece. Yeah.
So whoever those investors are, man, that have these deep pockets and need somewhere to put it, put a proper fucking restaurant.
For the 2 days a year that you get. A ton of beer nerds.
Yeah, you're going to lose a lot of money over 12 months, but...
Yeah, 2 days.
All the beer nerds love you because it'll be full on Fobab. But you know what? One more point about Fobab. Last year, I ran into, Angry Orchard. You know, mm-hmm. their cider guy. But he was saying, you know, because they clean up. He was at Virtue. Burke. Ryan Burke. Yeah. He was at Virtue, and then he went to Angry Orchard. In fact, they built this huge facility for him to just make experimental ciders, like outside of, you know, upstate New York. Oh, so anyway, you know, I hear him talking to one of the guys who works the event, and he was saying kind of like, you know, they were killing it in the cider category, but the cider category is not allowed to win Best in Show, which I thought was interesting, you know. So I wonder if there's any... if there's any changes to that this year. But I found that, I was just curious about that. You know, mm-hmm. It was something I never knew. So
Nick, you often do research.
Yeah.
You have a list. You came to Far and Away with a list.
Yeah.
What are you going for this year's Fobab?
You know, the Best in Show last year was Henna. Uh-huh. And...
But you've now had it like 100 times.
No, but last year when Session 2 on Saturday opened... There were like 50 people already in line, and I didn't get to try it.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for whatever Moore is pouring.
Whatever Moore has.
Whatever Moore is pouring. And then I want to try everything that Rev's got. Okay. Because I never find it in retail.
And there's just like Far and Away, there's always a line for Side Project. That stuff goes like.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I haven't even had enough Side Project to be like, yeah, I understand. It's just like, this is just gone before I even, like, know I should get it.
Yeah, Far and Away was so... It was a great event, but it was so...
Oh, yeah, sorry, you were Far and Away.
It was so... That's what we're talking about. It was so weird because there were, like, four breweries that had just huge lines right beside, like, Fonta Flora or whatever that place is called. It had just phenomenal beers.
Yeah. Casey's had a huge line. Then Side Project had a huge line. Monkish.
I didn't try any of that stuff.
I'm like, dude,
I don't care. This place, it's got nobody in it. I'm going to get their beer.
That's the first time I had, like, a true old man moment at a fest. I'm like, you know what, man? I felt like Steve Hamburg. I'm like, you know what, man?
He was drinking, like, Pilsners all day. Like.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? This line thing is a young man's sport.
It's true.
I'm going to roll up
to you. Felt like Steve Hamburg.
I'll roll up the green cheek and see you got this beer you just won with? Give me that.
Yeah, let's try that. Yeah. I like it. So you said, I listened to that episode, I guess I listened to it a week or so ago, that you guys were talking about Far and Away. And you said something that really resonated with me. And it was that beer fest made you feel like you were fresh in beer again. That was so true, spot on. And Fobab does it a little bit. If Fobab had brewers pouring...
You would feel a little more inclined ask questions.
Or it would just feel a little bit better or be cooler, I guess.
Yeah.
But the fact that you could walk through that Far and Away event and see breweries that I'd never even heard of.
Yeah, I talked to Kansas people for a little bit. I was like, who are you? Like, I don't – what is in Lawrence, Kansas, and why do you have a brewery there?
I mean, you like I said, you nailed it with that comment because it really does feel – it did feel like it was a fresh thing. I do wish Fobab had it a little bit more than that, but it's still a really good event.
Right. Fobab, there's so much stuff at Fobab. It often feels like I'm just trying as much as I can to find something I might like a little more than the last one. But yeah. That you're always right. like chasing something at Phobat, but Far and Away was, I want to experience these new breweries. I don't want to wait in line for Side Project because I know who Side Project is.
Yeah.
Let's try this other one.
And yeah. you guys, I mean, we've obviously covered far and away enough, but one thing I will say about that is they either got really lucky with how they set up the breweries, or they knew exactly who was going to have lines.
Yeah. Because
what if one of those people in the corner, it was, for people listening, it was a U, basically. A U with a stamp booths in the middle. And what if one of those people in the corner had been the line, or been with That's the line true. Breweries, and the line went straight in front of all of the other, and they didn't, they didn't have any of that. They had, they had all the lines were staggered so that there was wasn't blocking anybody.
There was almost four lines, I want to say, like, and every line kind of cut in front of the middle booth, so you could like see who was there. Like Wiseacre was in the middle, so you'd be like, oh, I'm in line. Let me ask David for something, or like, and they all kind of. Crisscrossed
other half from New York. That was the other big line.
Yeah, they all crisscrossed this middle station, and it was like just kind of nice that way.
So they, I'm guessing they knew who was gonna have a line.
Maybe, yeah.
Because otherwise, it would just been. I mean, if it would have made a huge mess if that line had been in the corner.
Yeah. now that we're talking about it, that's spot on. And it was on a rooftop too.
Yeah.
That was a good party, man.
It was outdoor. Any festival that you can have outdoor in Chicago is often a win.
Yeah.
It's well, great.
When it doesn't rain.
Yeah, when it doesn't.
You know, Pete Crowley used to always do the awards. You know, he was the founder of Phobat. Mm-hmm. And he would do the awards every year. And then last year, I think it was the director of, like, the Illinois Board of Tourism or something, did the awards.
I think Kevin did them one year. Didn't they switch him to the Guild doing the awards?
Maybe. Yeah. But I missed it when Pete did the awards. That's the only reason I brought that
Pete,
up.
Yeah, Pete was... Pete's.
I like Pedro. Have you heard anything about Mini Phobab or fucking Claire's Thirsty Ale or anything like that? Have we heard anything about that? I haven't, so...
The only thing I'm really aware of going on this week is the Beer Temple.
They're doing like a pre...
The pre-Phobab. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Haymarket.
So, Jonathan, you're from North Carolina.
Yep.
And you've been in Chicago for at least 15 or so.
13 years.
13 years. I know you're at, what are you at, Cicerone now.
I'm at Cicerone now.
But before Cicerone, what were you working on?
So I was with Draft Magazine for
Draft Magazine.
Yeah. Okay. I was at Draft as their web director for about 10 years. Hmm. At one point, I went because of publishing industry is tough, they came to me and said, we need to reduce your salary or cut you back or whatever. So I just, at that point, I talked to Ray Daniels, who was a friend of mine, and he didn't have anybody on his team at Cicerone doing internet stuff, and he's basically the first level's all internet. And so I said, hire me, Ray. And he did. And it was the easiest job interview I've ever had. And so then I was basically for about 6 years I did both jobs.
Okay.
Just split my time. And now Draft is pretty much gone.
Right.
Man. So I'm full time at Cicerone now.
Yeah, because they merged with All About Beer, and then I think it just kind of just got shelled after that.
Okay.
Yep. Not allowed to talk about too much of it because it's honestly it's technically still not over.
Okay.
Hmm. And I mean it could survive. I don't know. But I'm in theory, on paper, I am not being paid, but not fired, not terminated.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a furlough, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have the keys to all the servers. I could turn everything off right now if I wanted to. But they just don't have any money coming in. So
yeah, understand.
So I don't know. We'll see. It's an interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah.
But before, the reason I got into Draft was because I built Beer Mapping, which was a beer, Google Maps-based beer website. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got my job at Draft, because they saw that and reached out to me and said, we want to do that on our platform. And we never did that, but I helped them.
And Beer Mapping was just like a passion project. Like, it's just something that was just cool to do.
Yeah, I never made any money on it.
And then you recently launched
Sounds like this show.
Other RSS
feed. Oh, yeah.
importer, right?
I just launched readbeer.com. Mm-hmm. And what it does is I have 50, 25, I don't even know how many I have in there, feeds from different beer news sources or beer blogs, or like you guys are in there.
Nice.
So what it does is it reads that every, like yours because you guys don't post.
Like every week or something. Yeah.
Yours, it scans every I think it's 12 hours, every 720 minutes. But like Good Beer Hunting and some of these other, Brewbound, some of these other like actual news sources that are posting all the time.
Well,
it'll do like once an hour. Oh yeah, you guys step it up. You guys step it up and I'll turn you up higher.
All right.
Now we know. But, the gauntlet's been laid. Now we know.
But it's fun because, and this is again another passion project. I don't make anything on it. But it basically just scans these feeds and puts them up there. It's tracking clicks. So
so you have an idea of possibly who's more popular than other?
I can get that information. Or we'll be able to get that. I mean, it's only been up a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I can start building some information about, or some
interesting,
some numbers. But yeah, my goal is not to, I might put ads on there at some point if it becomes hard to keep up, if it starts costing me money. But
the best bet would be like just thinking like someone would come to you and be like, who's the most clickable? They would give you a kickback to tell them like, oh, it's Chicago Beer Pass, and then that ad comes to us or something. Yeah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Randomly thinking.
Yeah, I mean, because
you know the data then.
Right. But yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen with that. Yeah, it's cool. It's just a fun thing. Mm-hmm.
And you were looking to do, you like these side projects.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And so I couldn't. So I bought readbeer.com, which I think is a pretty good URL.
Yeah.
I bought it four or five years ago, and just sat on it because I had this idea a long time. I did a site like this in 2009, mm-hmm. And people liked it, but it was, and it, this one might go this way too, but it was overwhelming. It was taxing a server, and I wasn't making any money on it, so I had to turn it off. It was overwhelming the server. I mean, the thing's been up a week, and there's already 1,000 posts, because it's using WordPress. It's basically taking
posts. So it's making its own blog.
And making, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So there's already 1,000 posts in a week, which means all those thumbnails and all those. So,
server space and cost is way
down.
From
what it was 5 years for sure. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I you know, again, if I get a lot of interest in it, which I have so far, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that kind of stuff's fun to me. Looking at cool things to do with the web and beer. It's just always been a fun thing.
Sure.
I was talking to Ray Daniels at the they had the Brewmaster the movie, which is coming out. There was like a little party for it in West Loop, and I was telling him, I was like, what makes Chicago cool to me is, like, aside from the number of breweries, is that, you know, you got Miller Coors, you know, one of the biggest breweries on the planet right downtown, and then you got the Cicerone program that trains everyone from coast to coast, also based here, along with all these breweries.
And Siebel.
And Siebel. Yeah. And he's like,
you don't hear people talk about Siebel as much as they
used to.
I don't feel like, but I think it's still pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe I'm just not hanging around the right people.
Yeah, yeah, but the education piece really is,
it's huge.
What separates us from other towns, I think.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Damn. Cool. Nick, any other events or things we should talk about before we get out of here this week besides FOBAB? Are we just, it's all about FOBAB, right?
Full frontal FOBAB.
And Revolution release.
And Revolution. And
And what you just mentioned, because my boss is in it, Ray Daniels.
Yeah.
That movie's coming out. It's a movie, the Music Box, Tuesday.
That's the
20th. So next, depending on, this will go up Thursday, so it'll be.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, yeah.
So it'll be the 20th of whatever month this is.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving November. Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
yeah, one night only.
And I saw that.
Really?
Yeah. I saw the first cut because, I work with a company that was, we are not, you saw it, so you've seen it.
Yeah.
So you, apparently, Ray's seen it multiple times now. Apparently the version you saw and the version I saw are different from this version.
Okay.
So the first versions that we saw, Miller Coors has some funding in it. So the first versions were a little bit heavier on the Miller Coors end.
Mm-hmm.
And this version, from what Ray says, has pulled back a lot on that. So it's not as Pilsner or Kölsch. You know, there was a lot of that in there.
Yeah.
That's been pulled back some. And then There's two main personalities. The brewer is more focused on than the guy that's taking the exam. You remember?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't. That doesn't give anything away.
No, that's good. Yeah, because I would just gave it all away.
Yeah.
Again, there's this one fucking dude that's got this plan, and I don't like his plan.
His plan's kind of bad. Yeah. But but anyway, I thought it was an entertaining movie.
No, it was good. It was good. And then we saw it at a spot in West Loop that I can't think of the name of the spot, but they had like a movie theater, and it was popcorn and beer, and it was great.
Was it Pilsner Urquell?
It was Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah, that's what I had too. I saw it at the Logan Theater.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it was all you can drink Pilsner Urquell cans.
The music box is going to be good. I don't think I've ever been there. Yeah.
Never been to the music box.
I've never been either. Box. Oh, wow.
Yeah. One night only. There's VIP tickets, and then there's general admission. General admission is $9. But then you can upgrade and get all the beer and popcorn you want. And then there's a Q&A at the end.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's
so on it's in the big. I'm sure it's in the big theater.
Yeah, and it's good. A lot of people make appearances in it. You know, Randy Mosher's in it. Ray Daniels is in it. Sam Calzione and from Brooklyn, Garrett Oliver, they're all in it. It blew my mind that night of the preview that he said, Ray Daniels said that Randy Mosher and Ray Daniels thought about starting a brewery in Ravenswood.
Yeah, he's got
blew my mind.
Yeah, I think he's got some logos or something in his. I've seen him.
Yeah,
in
his office. We asked him about that at.
We asked Randy Mosher about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Randy Mosher was like, "Well, Ravenswood wasn't ready at the time."
Look at it now.
Wouldn't that be wild if those two? But you know, I think they did okay.
Apparently, somebody's making wine in Ravenswood now. Like they just opened up. I'm not sure the name, but right over there by Dovetail.
Okay. I might have to check that out. I'm going to Band of Bohemia this week.
Oh, nice.
So.
For dinner or just event?
Just
or?
Dinner. I'm getting old. It's B-Day is Friday.
Okay.
Mm.
Like, where you want to go? I'm like, Band of Bohemia. I haven't been since they opened.
Nice.
So I'm going Friday.
I feel like, yeah, going for the food is way better than just going for beer. Like, you need the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been, but only for a private event. It was not the actual menu. I want to go try the menu. I'll just come with you.
Right after we go to we start at Half Acre, then we gotta go to Rev, then we gotta go to Fobev, and after that then we go to
Your day?
No. Okay. What am I doing? I might do Half Acre then Band of Bohemia.
What's the deal? So that's next week. So that'll be in your next
That's Friday.
It's Friday. So what are the numbers on Half Acre? What's the time?
Half Acre's 11 a.m.
Okay. So get in line at 9?
Man, that's going to suck. Crazy? I think they open at 11. So okay. I think I'm just going to make the 11 play.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, last year I went for Benthic and ended up with Oren. And that's when I realized that Oren is cool, but Oren is not Benthic.
Yeah.
So
You just got to walk around the side and look for Phil McFarland and
Phil.
And say, hey, Phil.
Like, small bar, what was it? Three years he posted today, or 5 years?
Oh, because they shut it down permanently.
I think it might have been 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Small bar.
Yeah, it's sad.
There is one big event this weekend. It's Dice of Doom at Kaiser Tiger.
Oh, man. I went to that last year, and I don't remember hardly any of it.
So
it was a good event.
So I think it's like, you know, the most evil beer that God let happen. It's Malort Barrel-Aged Dark Lord.
Yeah, and it's literally you roll the dice to see what you're gonna. It's like Dungeons and Dragons themed, and you roll the dice to see what you get. And so like one through three could, it's like a 20-sided dice, like a Dungeons and Dragons dice. Mm-hmm. And like 1 through 3 will be just straight up shot of Malort, and then it goes up like so.
So you keep rolling until you.
Well, you got to get back in line, but yeah, you can keep trying it.
Brad just shook his head, by the way, when we announced this. He didn't say anything.
There's
a lot of things I
don't like about this event.
Yeah.
One of the prizes is like Space Force, which is one of the variants this year from Dark Lord Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where I went last year after the first Phobab session. That's why for me it was a little blurry.
Yeah.
I won the shot of Malort. I had the worst the worst prize.
Yeah, that would be a little rough after Phobab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
But that's the only thing I got this week. Yeah.
All right. Then we should get out of here. Jonathan, where can people find you, follow you?
Beernator on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And don't look for me on Facebook.
There's always burger pictures and snarky beer comments. Post,
yeah, I try.
Does that sums up the feed pretty well?
It's pretty good.
And then, Nick, where can people find you?
Right at my I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Facebook, website. Yeah, we'll be back next week with a FOBAB recap. John,
if you remember, if you can remember,
yeah, if we can remember
what happened,
I'm still hoping for some new Raspberry Oarsman or.
It was good last year.
Yeah, maybe I'm excited, like man. Blueberry or pumpkin Oarsman. I go for that. But yeah, Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it was fun.
And take care.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.